This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to this Wednesday, the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament taking place at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. And this golf tournament has raised tens of thousands over the years for programs of the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA that benefited the community and especially the youth of the community. We're all gathered today at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club for this incredible event. I think this is, what, the 13th one I've been involved with over there, along with the great people at Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation. So, yeah, we're having fun for a great cause, and the Purdy family, very special as to what they do on an everyday basis for their customers, but also what they do to give back. And, of course, it's the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. And Adam Purdy, of course, talks lovingly and glowingly about his grandfather. All right. This half hour, by the way, being brought to you by the great friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. The incredible autos that they have on the lot. Everybody knows I bought Ford. I bought an Explorer, and it's been incredible. And Stanger did a great job on the experience and the great job on financing all the way through. Warranties. And they also have Kia, Hyundai, pre-owned inventory all over the lot. So if your budget says, I'd love new, but I can't afford new, believe me, they have a great selection of pre-owned inventory that they go over with a fine-tooth comb. That way it makes the buying experience so much easier. You're more relaxed doing that instead of playing a guessing game. It's like, I wonder what that vehicle's been through. And a great service department, routine difficulty, handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Dave Spadaro will talk about the Eagles training camp to this point in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Want to work for a stable yet growing company? Got it. Want to work for a family-owned business with over 100 years' experience in taking care of customers and employees? Got it. Want to work for a leader in selling more cars and satisfying more customers? Got it. Who has all that? SMC Sunbury Motor Company is looking for technicians across all their departments. Whether you're an entry-level technician, an experienced technician, or someone looking for a career change, Sunbury Motors would love to hear from you. They're looking for technicians for their quick lane, car and light truck service, heavy truck service, body shop, and frame and alignment division. You can apply online at sunburymotors.com, in person at our North 4th Street location, or call Todd at 570-286-7746. Your new career of working on Fords, Kias, Hyundais, Western Star trucks, plus anything that fits in the door, and some things that don't. Join Sunbury Motors. Your new career is waiting for you.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
This half hour being brought to you by our great friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory at the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. And a tremendous service department that backs it up every step of the way with routine, difficult. They handle it all with complete ease. It is at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Time now to bring in Dave Spadaro. Hey, Dave, how are you today?
Good, thank you, Steve. How are you doing?
Doing great. America's not going to find out about much about the Eagles in preseason games, so let's find out from you about how they're doing so far.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to find out much in that way either. They haven't tackled yet. They've worn pads one day. Tonight, of course, is the public practice, and everybody's excited about that. And a lot of applause for Saquon Barkley when he steps onto the field for the first time. But, yeah, I mean, just not it's hard to tell. I mean, it's really – this is a different NFL. I'd love to give you the lowdown, but I know that they're rotating through all of their various combinations of personnel, and that's just kind of the way it is right now. But promising, exciting – a lot of optimism, but I can't really tell you who's separated from whom. They haven't tackled yet.
Let me get to that part of it. I mean, when do you really feel the NFL begins to hit stride? I always feel like the first two to maybe into the third game is still a feeling out process, and then because now they're tackling in games, that's when it starts to take off because now they've tackled in games because they're not getting it in practice, really.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that, and I think that it's natural to think that way. And then when they go to 18 games, we'll kind of push it back even further. Eventually that's going to happen. We all know that.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is a little bit of an exercise in patience, but even back in the day when they were doing two-a-days and it was much more physical, the rush to judgment is just too much. And it all changes when you play another opponent. I mean, they've been practicing against each other since the spring, and they know each other. They know the tendencies. Yeah. They know the schemes. So it's very, very unfair to really get a feel for what the Eagles are, who's going to start, the rotations, until they're, I mean, you're right, almost a month into the regular season.
Is there any particular position you're looking at right now where you think there's some competition where it's going to be interesting to see in the end how it plays out in the preseason?
I mean, I look at every position. Every position. Depth at running back, Kenny Pickett at quarterback, depth at wide receiver, tight end, offensive line, some new starters. All of that is very interesting to me. And on the offensive side, and the defensive side, I think you can say it at all three levels. This is a team that has not yet settled on its starters. And so I think you kind of look at that and you think about that at every position, really, at this point. I mean, I find it to be a very fascinating roster with a bunch of young guys from the last three drafts who were.
Well, then there's the other part. You mentioned Kenny Pickett in that answer. What kind of pickup do you think he can be? How interesting a pickup was that? Because I know he's expected to be the backup quarterback, but.
Yeah, he's the backup quarterback. Is there a question about that?
Look, it's hard to negotiate 17 games and stay healthy. I mean, quarterbacks especially are going to get hit. That's why I watch NFL games in December. Like, who's that guy?
Right.
So how interested are you to see how Pickett handles what they do and how well he does it behind a much better offensive line?
Yeah, a really good offensive line, great skill position people, a coordinator who's proven success. I think that, you know, what Kenny's working with now is a lot different than what he was working with in Pittsburgh, and I think it will benefit him. Mobile quarterback, smart guy, can make all the throws, knows how to win, has won in the NFL, very much knows his role here, supporting Jalen Hurts. And, I mean, from the Eagles' standpoint, look, they want Jalen out here for 17 games in the regular season and in a long playoff run, and they want him to be a superstar. They need him to be a superstar. So I think everybody understands the role, but certainly we have seen in the past you know, knock, 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 2017, the Eagles winning the Super Bowl with a backup quarterback in the game. So it's clearly very, very important. And they wanted to make sure that they had a quarterback who they felt, if he had to play, that they could win games with him. And Gardner Minshew, up and down in his time here. Marcus Mariota last year really never impressed anyone necessarily. So I think that they feel very, very good about a former first-round pick in, and a young guy being here right now, and they feel like Kenny's picked up the offense pretty darn well.
Hey, Dave, that's the other part, too. You brought up the 18 games earlier. So big picture here, Eagles aside, we all know it's inevitable and probably has been for 10 years, but what do you think about the NFL playing 18 regular season games?
Yeah, I mean, it's such a tremendous toll on the players, but, like, I get it. I think that there's an insatiable appetite for the NFL from the fans. Look, I work the preseason games, so I would love to keep three preseason games. Right. I'm on the sidelines for those games. I love them. They're fun. But from a revenue standpoint, it makes sense to go to 18. It is a tremendous toll. I would like to see the rosters increased. I would like to see the game day rosters increased. I don't have any reason, any understanding of why there's an inactive list. You got a 53-man roster. Mm-hmm. Let all 53 players be eligible to play and active to play on game days. It is ridiculous that you have to have inactive players. It just makes no sense to me. You want to give players a chance to take some reps off? Well, make the roster a little bit larger. But I think it's inevitable. I think given all of these television deals, you know, you see what Netflix pays for Christmas Day games. The moral of the story is that all of these networks, all of these streaming units, they want games. They are willing to pay whatever it takes to have NFL football on their channels.
You mentioned being on the sidelines, you know, for TV broadcasts for preseason games. What are some of the angles that you look at, especially when the fans, now Eagle fans are pretty good about knowing every guy that's in camp. That's the fan, but the casual fan may not. So what are your responsibilities in that part to help them learn who some of these people are and might be able to do to help the team?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, you know, we don't expect the Eagles to play their starters much, if at all. That's just kind of what Nick has done for 3 years here. And so the objective of preseason is to, and the training camp period, is to go from 90 players to 53 players. Yeah. And, you know, Howie Roseman told me a couple of weeks ago when camp started that his biggest nightmare is cutting players that then go on to have great careers elsewhere. You know, like, he wants to make sure that he keeps the best 53 and the 16-man practice squad. So keep that in mind. That's the top-level objective of this summer. And within that, you know, establishing depth charts, getting these schemes integrated, really building chemistry among the players and the coaching staff. So going into a preseason broadcast, you understand that everybody knows Jalen Hurts, and everybody knows A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, and they're not going to play. So you want to introduce them to the new players, Saquon Barkley and some of, and the rookie class, and then some long-shot good stories of players who are making runs to the roster. And I think that is what is important. And as we see the season play out, it's so vital that you have depth and that you can turn to anyone. And we understand that throughout the course of this long, long regular season and hopefully postseason, you're going to need everybody on the 53 and on the practice squad to really make a contribution.
And because you're so invested doing the sideline, which means you're really invested in the stories of the team, what does that role do to help you as the season goes along in terms of giving you perspective on a couple of angles?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it's really fun, and it is like, it is that I'm trying to, I mean, I have a very clear working understanding of what the Eagles are, who they are, what they've been thinking since the end of the 2023 season, and so I want to bring that to the viewing audience, and with Ross Tucker and Scott Graham in tandem. I mean, we really have a great broadcast team, and we've worked together for a long time, and that is our mission, to educate the fans, to entertain the fans, and then as you carry through the season, how do some of these young, great stories, how do they sustain through the remainder of the regular season? You know, we've had some young guys make moves in the preseason and at times flame out and at times get better and better and better. And so you kind of want to track the progress and how do they react to the bright lights for the first time. Even though it's the preseason, it's a big deal. You know, tonight is an open practice at Lincoln Financial Field, and there could be, I don't know, 40,000, 50,000 mm-hmm. fans there. Mm-hmm. And while it's just a practice, Steve, for these players coming out on the field for the first time,
yep.
it's a big deal. Yes, it's a memorable moment. They learn the mechanics of going from the locker room through the tunnel to the field and how that works. So all of that, it's just such an interesting day-by-day process, and you just see it build and build and build, and as you get to the late in the season, that's when it really matters, as unfortunately we saw last year with the Eagles when they went from 10-1 to 11-6 and then ultimately losing in the playoffs to Tampa Bay.
And what about the angle of coordinators with this team? How interested are you in terms of their approach to what you're seeing?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, again, we're not going to see a lot of the schemes in these preseason games. This is just the basics. They want to evaluate the players and give the players an opportunity to run plays that they're really comfortable with and that they've got an innate knowledge about. So, and then they'll get into game planning later. But look, I think it's fascinating. What is Vic Fangio going to do with a defense that's got new talent up and down at all three levels? What is Kellen Moore going to do to bring this offense to a new level, to cut down the giveaways from last year, to get Jalen Hurts back as a dominant running threat, which, you know, last year the Eagles just didn't give him that opportunity to really take advantage. I felt that teams came in to play the Eagles, and the first thing they wanted to do is they wanted to take Jalen's abilities to kill with his legs out of the equation, and the Eagles just didn't counter that. So it is a really wonderful chess match, and I've really been impressed with Kellen and with Vic, and they've had success where they've gone. But yet we have not seen the real kind of manifestation of that scheme and of that the new playbook. What usually happens, Steve, is that, you know, the preseason ends, the practices then are closed for 2 weeks mm-hmm. prior to the start of the regular season, mm-hmm. and that's when you really see the Eagles put stuff in specifically for, in this instance, the Green Bay Packers in right. September.
Do you have time for one more question?
I sure do.
Okay, I just want to make sure because I know you've got something else you have to get
to.
There's
Brandon Graham's. We're doing some interviews. We got the practice tonight. It's a fun time.
Yeah,
really fun day, actually.
It is a fun day, and I don't want to take up too much more of it. So I just want to ask this
great.
One.
I love coming on with you. You're awesome.
I appreciate it. Dave, what about the ability to judge an intangible? And I don't mean the preseason necessarily, but even in the first couple of games, just like, can you see a relationship building between Kellen Moore and Jalen Hurts? Can you see a relationship building between a Vic Fangio and maybe a Avante Maddox or Jalen Carter or something like that?
Yeah, I think you see it as the season goes along. And you see that when Jalen, for example, makes a call at the line of scrimmage, understanding that that's what he and Kellen are on the same page. Mm-hmm. That's kind of when you see that chemistry build. Yeah. And when you see a linebacker making a check for the defense after the helmet audio is turned off, it turns out to be the right check because he and Vic are on the same page. Haven't really seen it yet, although I will tell you, I think the offenses look great. I think Jalen's been razor sharp. The chemistry with the wide receiver crew is top level right now. I mean, look, there's still things to be worked out at wide receiver. They don't know who the third, fourth, fifth, potentially sixth wide receivers will be. You know, who's your fourth running back if you go that deep? Who's starting at right guard? Who's your number two and number three tight ends? So there's many questions, but I think that I haven't seen a lot of footballs on the ground. I haven't seen a lot of players lined up in the wrong spots. I haven't seen plays being brought back because somebody's messed up the cadence or run the wrong route or done some mistake from a cerebral standpoint. So it tells me that Kellen is communicating the offense well, players are absorbing it, and the methodology is working this early in camp, and we're only 2 weeks into training camp.
Dave, great work. I want to make sure you get to what you have to be at next. Thank you so much for the time you gave us today.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. And let's stay in touch. This should be a really fun preseason as the Eagles build to Sao Paulo Brazil?
Yeah.
And the Packers.
Nothing like Brazil. Yeah. Okay.
Brazil. Yeah. Amazing.
Remember, Portuguese is good. All right.
Portuguese is a good thing. That's right. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate you. Dave Spadaro does an outstanding job. And this half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn while they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour of the show being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. You have a multitude of insurance needs. The pros, just great people. Handle all of them. Make sure you're fully insured and work like heck to make sure that you save money, because customer service means everything to them. And we congratulate them on the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club, benefiting the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. Be another great fundraiser. All right. Time now for one of my favorite segments, and that is Wheels. Chris Wheeler, how are you, sir?
One of my favorite times, anytime, Steve, of course, is being able to speak with you and your listeners and all that. So I'm good. I got back from Florida about 3 weeks ago after 6 months down there. So I'm settling in here and playing a different golf course.
Yeah, Jack Ham and I played Sunny Hanna yesterday. So,
nice.
Oh yeah, very nice. So this is actually a business question. I want to start with this. Mike Gorman retired as the voice of the TV voice of the Celtics after 43 years, and he tells a story about his first game with the Celtics, and he walks in and, like any young broadcaster, he has all this preparation. And preparation is important, no question about that. And he walks in, and Tommy Heinsohn looks at him and says, "What's all that?" He goes, "Well, those are my notes." And Heinsohn took them and he picked them up, dumped them in the garbage can. He says, "Well, let's just do the game. Let's talk about what we see."
Yeah.
So, Chris, you were always prepared. How important was it, though, in the end that you just talked about what you saw?
Well, you hit it right on the head, Steve. You have to be prepared. I mean, we have to know when we're doing the game, not only our club, but who the other team is,
right,
and who the 25, now 26 guys are in their dugout and how their bullpen matches up and all those kind of things, and even more so nowadays, I would think. But we always knew that kind of stuff. I mean, Richie Ashburn could get away with it and say, "Who's that guy?" And then we would tell him, and people would laugh, you know, when they get him. But that was all part of the deal. But, you know, we couldn't get away with that sort of stuff. Yes, you really can't plan things. I mean, you can write down something that maybe it may work later on, or, you know, if you get into 10-1 game in the first inning and you're losing, you know, those kind of things. But no, at Tommy Heinsohn, that was really, really, really good advice. So that was one of the first things I told Tim McCarver when he and I started working together.
Yeah.
You know, he would write down a lot of stuff and things to get in and all. And I basically said to him just what we're talking about right now. You're there to tell people what you see with your expertise. You sat behind home plate for all those years and observed the game, mm-hmm. and you know the game, and you can explain the game, and you're going to get better and better at it. So don't try to force anything. A joke, a one-liner, a word. He used to love words. He wanted to put a word, you know, put a little verbiage mm-hmm. in there. I told him one time, I said, Timmy, you ate dirt for a living for 20 years. Let me do the words. And he, the look on his face, I could still see it. But that's such a great point by Tom Heinsohn. I totally agree with that.
Well, what's interesting, and this is why I tell my sports broadcasting class, that you have to tell the audience things that they know what it means. They know what ERA means. Okay? They know what strikeout to walk ratio means. They don't know what WAR means. They don't know in football what QBR means, quarterback rating, because nobody knows how to calculate it. Okay? This isn't an algebra class. This is like sports. I got two eyes. I can see he's good.
I'm so happy that I got out of there before they had to do a lot. I was down the ballpark the other night and was hanging out with the guys, and Scott Fransky, Larry Anderson, you know, Tom McCarthy, Johnny Kruk, and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, they were. I said to them, how do you do all this stuff nowadays? And Scott Fransky, who's so good, as you know, terrific radio broadcaster.
Awesome.
He basically said, look, we have to pay attention to this kind of stuff, and I work it in once in a while. He said, but it really has to mean something, and basically exactly what you just said. It has to be something you can explain without a degree in calculus. And that's the way he does the game. And, of course, he has Larry there sitting beside him acting like, you know, he didn't get out of second grade. That's part of his act, which is funny. And he's very smart, too, Larry Anderson.
Yep.
So is Johnny Kruk, and they try to act, you know, play the stooge role. But, you know, those guys, they're not going to work in a lot of that sort of stuff. And the play-by-play guy, as you know, Steve, is more has to do more of that than the analyst. But I thought Scott's answer was right on target.
Talk to people in their language. Don't try to force language on them. I said, what does WAR mean? I said, what, Mike Trout gets hurt and the guy isn't as good as he is? I got it.
Yeah.
I got it.
No kidding.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm in shock. So we talked about that. Here's the other part. This is where experience comes into play. It's 162 games. So let's get to the current Phillies team. You and I both know every team in baseball, whether it's high market teams with a lot of money like the Dodgers, the Yankees, whatever, they all hit a slump, right? And you see it over and over. The Phillies are in a slump right now, right? They're in a slump. There's no getting around it.
Yep.
But it's also 162 games. It's not unexpected. It's just frustrating for everybody because they don't want to see it.
No, it's frustrating for everybody. And, you know, when they got off to that great start, you know, I'm around people down in Florida. More I was down there because they can't blame me, but it started more or less since I got back here. I said, well, you know, it's nice that they're getting up to 20-some games over 500 because you're going to have that stretch when you're 10 under 500 or something like that, and you should be able to weather. Now, this is a bad one they're in right now. There's no doubt about it. They've been playing a lot better teams. And the bottom line is you did a lot of baseball. When you pitch, you don't hit. When you hit, you don't pitch.
That's
and they're
right.
kind of in that syndrome right now. And it's very, very difficult when you're in one of these things. When a Harper, you know, his player of the month in May and June and then is awful in July, and Turner all of a sudden can't get on base and those kind of things, your big boys have to do it for you. You know, it's nice to fill in a little bit at the trade deadline. They did a good job with that. But if your stars aren't stars, and Harper even said that the other day, well, you got a problem, and they have to. What I thought was, knowing, having been through this, and you know, having been through these things, one of the best things they could do, not this long road trip, that's not good, but get on that plane yesterday, go to Seattle, have an off day, go out, play golf, have dinner, go walk the fish market or something like that, and just take a deep breath and say, the world's not ending. Let's go get them again. And whether or not they do, I don't know. But I think that came at a good time to just get away for a while.
Yeah, I mean, and exactly right. Just get away and just like, okay, we went out, okay. And then you start and you take, let's win the next one. Not the series. You the series takes care of itself. Win the first one. Right now, let's win the second one. Hey, now we won the series. Because what have they lost now? Six consecutive series or something like that?
Yeah, they can't win the first game of a series. That's what they had done all along, was win the first game of a series and never hadn't been swept until the Yankees got them these last three games. So, yeah, a lot of negatives right now, no doubt about it. And, of course, our area is not prone to emotional highs and lows. You know that. I mean, so, you know, one minute you're on the moon, and the next minute, you know, the parade, what day is the parade, and the next minute the parade's off. So, you know, but that's what it is of being an East Coast sports fan. Especially baseball fan in this area, and the fans are great. They sell the place out every night, but it's very emotional one way or the other, and you can't react in baseball the way you do in football because it can be over real fast in football. Yeah. In baseball, you know, you have time to straighten out and right the ship.
Charlie Manuel was always a bastion of baseball wisdom for you to talk to. So when they would go through something like this, they're all different. You know, what would he tell you about how to handle it and how he handled it?
Well, his way of doing it was not to be overbearing. I mean, he might sit there and complain to me about this guy can't play or why do I have to, you know, that sort of stuff. But with the media, with his team and everything, he would go through the clubhouse once in a while. And he was funny, too. He'd make some kind of a funny off-color remark to somebody or slap somebody on the back and always try to pump him up without looking like he was a cheerleader and a rah-rah guy. He had a great feel for that. One of his greatest statements, Steve, he used to say, know thyself.
Yeah, yeah.
And I used to think, wow, does that apply to not only sports but life and relationships and so many things. So I think the best thing about him was he kept everybody calm, or he did his best to keep everybody calm during the good times, and you know, and let them in during the bad times, and let them just enjoy themselves in the good times. He was a master of that. Everybody wanted to come to the ballpark and play for him, and it worked.
They were not expected to be any massive, earth-shattering deals at the trade deadline, and that's exactly what happened. In the end, though, did the Phillies make a couple of subtle deals that you felt that can help the ball club the last 2 months?
Yeah, I think Hayes will help them. Austin Hayes, the guy, the right-handed, we need a right-handed hitting outfielder, and he just missed two home runs yesterday. You know, would have changed that game completely. Hit a home run the night before. Mm-hmm. And he played center field in the American League, was an all-star center fielder, so he certainly can play left field. And I thought Estevez was a very good pickup for them from the Angels because they really kind of needed a guy late in the game where you didn't. Well, you know, you weren't hiding behind the couch when he came into the game and peeking around the corner, you know, that sort of stuff. And you know those guys. And they were getting to have a little bit too much of that. Just so he's been good for that. He's had two appearances. Now there hadn't been the other night. Yeah, they're both in close games. He came in tie game the other night and a one run game yesterday losing. But still, he went in, got him up and down for the most part. So yeah, I think those two moves were good. They didn't give up a lot off their major league roster. The two kid pitchers they gave up, I had seen them. Now that I'm down in Florida so much, I see the Threshers play a lot in Clearwater. So I see a lot of these guys, and I know them. And I saw both of them pitch. Alderieri and right-hander. They're both really good prospects. But they're prospects. Who knows? Well, it's like when you sign a four-star recruit and the three-star recruit's better. Who knows? They're all prospects at one time. They didn't get recruited unless they're a prospect. So that's kind of the way that is with that. And you got to win right now because a lot of these players, they're in their window. They're in their window of their prime. And you can't sit around thinking, I can't worry about an A-ball pitcher, a double-A pitcher, if I can do something to win right now.
Wills, here's the best example I can give of the prospect you just don't know. Penn State had the three terrific wide receivers from 2005 to 2008. Deion Butler, Jordan Norwood, Derek Williams, right? Williams was the five-star of all five stars, National Player of the Year. Deion Butler was a walk-on from Woodbridge, Virginia. Walk-on. And started out at corner, and then after a season at corner where he redshirted, was moved to wide receiver. And Jordan Norwood was a gray shirt who didn't enter until January after his recruiting class. They all ended up in the NFL. Okay, so.
Yeah, they weren't bad.
Right. I mean,
boy, they were good.
I mean, but how diverse in terms of, like, prospect number can you possibly be?
Look, there's no exact science to sports. Look, when Bryce Harper's coming up, he's going to be a great player. Every once in a while, you're going to see one of those guys.
Sure.
Hey, Rod.
Right.
You know, we could go on with some names. But for the most part, they are prospects. And when you try to play the game at the college level, you know, the division level that Penn State plays at in the Big Ten, or try and play. Look, anybody that gets into Major League Baseball is really good.
Yes.
A lot better than we were when we were kids. You know,
I
understand fans sit there and say, oh, he stinks, he's terrible. Well, he's not. Maybe he's not a great Major League player, but he's a heck of a player at one time. So, yeah, trying to take a prospect. And in baseball, it's the hardest thing in the world to do because you're trying to project a 17, 18, 19-year-old into a 21, 22-year-old man. Well, think what you try to do now when you try to do that with your own family. You're trying to project those kind of things, let alone trying to project an athlete. So baseball is very, very difficult that way.
All right, it's your turn. All right. Yeah, I'm not gonna bring you on and not let you ask questions.
One thing I forgot to mention, that when you mentioned Charlie, I want to say I think Rob Thompson's very similar.
Yes,
I've gotten to know him a little bit and everybody around him. He's very much the same way as Charlie, you know, very stable, very calm, and lets them play. So I think they're in good hands right now when they're going through this sort of thing. So that's just my opinion.
Yep.
All right. Receivers. Where are we with receivers? Because that's obviously been a problem the last few years.
All right. Okay. How often when you've gone to Clearwater or you've gone to a game and you know a guy can play, but you got to see him do it in a game, right? Right? It's the consistency part. In other words, he's got the talent. Penn State receivers have the talent. Clifford's a good player. Wallace is a good player. Fleming's a good player. Saunders is a good player. Evans is a good player, right? I want to see what I see in practice. And I see a lot of really good things in practice, Chris, and translate into a game consistently. It's the consistency part translating into a game. Because I think they've got the talent to do it. It's because I see it. Now I want to see it in a game. And I think we'll see it in a game this year. And I think having Singleton and Allen as part of the pass game to go with the tight ends is also going to be an important component.
Does it help them in practice if they go up against really good competition on defense?
Absolutely, because they'll do good on good every practice. It's not going to be every single period. I think it's one of the fantasies of what people practice, what happens in practice. But you have 3 to 4 segments during the course of it that are good on good, and plus there are one-on-ones that they have to play all the time, and those are always competitive periods, so they're helped exponentially by doing that.
Yeah, and the other thing that everybody wants to know, and you're so close to it and you see it, they had a lot of changes in coordinators, in offense and defense. That's a lot to, and special teams. That's a lot to go through, I would think, in one off season. So what are you seeing with that?
Well, with that, having the spring helped. I think that made a big difference. To me, it's almost like that period of time, say a team changes in September in baseball and they keep the guy. You know, you at least now, that guy now has a better feel on personnel. They have a better feel on him. That's what the spring was about. Everybody has a better feel for everybody. Andy, Tom, Justin, on the players that they're working with. Conversely, the players with them and the system they want to put in. So they're not starting from square one. They did not start from square one on the first day of camp. They were able to get out of the gate and review install instead of actually doing install. because that was already done during the spring. And I think that's helped a lot. You can see the philosophies come into play. Tom's been, you know, as we all know, Tom wants to play a lot of two linebackers like he did at Indiana. Doesn't mean he can't play three once in a while, because he does. You see how Andy tries to create space out there to get guys open and so forth. So, you know, more motion that's happening out there. So I think it's those are all, to me, positive changes. Now, Manny left and went to Duke. I mean, you know, James wasn't making that change. That change was made because a guy got a head coaching job. But I think it's going to work out really well. These guys are pros.
I know you talk – You love to talk or talk about all the time about how much running backs and all nowadays get in the passing game. As you just said, can all this thing what they're talking about making more space for people help Drew Allar?
I think it's going to have to because I would like Drew was what like 59.8 last year, so just about 60%. I think if you take the 25 touchdowns, the 2 interceptions, and that you get that pass rate to about 64-65%, now you've got something. Because some of that stuff that is around with the backs and so forth, well, that makes a defense react to that. And when they react to it, then you can hit big plays. Aha. And I think that's where – and Drew's also going into his second year as a starter, and that's really important because there's now not a speed he has not seen before.
You know, I hear, you know, you talk all the time in football about stretching the field, and it just seemed like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know football like you guys do, but I try to pay attention and observe. But it just didn't seem like they stretched the field, and teams were worried about them going deep the way they had done in other years. I mean, is there anything to that?
Oh, there's a lot to it, Chris, and I think it's one of the reasons why Andy's here, because Andy researches big plays. He wants on Sunday from the video guys. Give me a breakdown on the NFL and college big plays. I just want to see them across the country.
Wow.
Right? I want to see what they did, what you know, how they got to it. And because he's always looking for that. So big plays, you know, those explosive plays are plays that teams need to win games on the college level. James is a huge proponent of it. Andy's a huge proponent of it. And I think that's going to be an important part going forward. But you set up your big plays. It's just like, hey, let's go back. I'm just going to throw a big play. No, you got to set it up. And, you know, sometimes you have to play a little bit of chess to finally make the big move. And that's what I think Andy does. He plays a little bit of chess to then set up the big move late, where suddenly out of nowhere, your queen is gone. All right, so Chris.
Hey, before yeah. we get finished, we didn't talk about defense at all. Are they still real athletic on defense?
Oh, man, they can run. I mean, that's the whole thing. I mean, this group can run. And that's the other part, too, is that as people saw in the spring about playing the three safeties, and Jalen Reed is the guy that can be the flex guy, which allows Zaki Wheatley and K.J. Winston to be out there. Well, when you have five defensive backs out there, you have five guys automatically who can run, right? And Rojas can run. The linebacker? Oh, Rojas can run. Oh, I mean, he's terrific out there. DeLuca knows how to play. You can play with defensive ends who can drop into coverage because they can run. Carter is a chess piece that you can move to defensive end, linebacker, and he can run. So, yeah, the ability – speed's the name of the game now. You know, guys that used to be safeties are now outside linebackers. Outside linebackers are now defensive ends. It's all about speed. Hey, I could do this all day.
I got one more.
Okay, you can sneak in. Go ahead, sneak in one more.
I want to say it's really nice. I know the O-line's better, but I think it's really cool that there's been some recognition for my favorite offensive lineman, Sal Wormley.
Sal Wormley, okay? Your guy, okay?
My guy.
Your guy, okay? We need somebody to talk to Mom. Wheels, right? Sal is in his sixth year, and he's a good player.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, that was fun that day, getting to, you know, being on the sidelines with you and Brian and, you know, and my friend Brian, as from Clearwater, and a lot of the Penn State people, and getting to meet Sal that day and his mom and all. It was fun having that conversation. So I've kind of followed him since then, obviously.
Well, every time I do the lineup, I think of you when I mention him.
That's great.
my good friend, thank you so much. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Me too, Steve. It's always great. I mean, I love talking to you anytime. And, you know, I still want to try and get up there sometime. We'll talk about that off the air, see if I can figure out something.
Well, you know what? Yeah, I can always go down and see you too. So let's figure this out, all right?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I would like to make it work. It's always a pleasure. Anytime I'm here for you.
Thanks, Chris. You're the greatest.
All right, bud. Okay, take care.
Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com on News Radio 1070 WKOK.